All right, I'd like to share with you, if you'd like to at least turn to the passage of Scripture, which will be in Galatians chapter 6. That way you can at least get yourself there. We'll be speaking from Galatians chapter 6 here in a moment, and I'm going to be focusing on the first 10 verses. Again, Galatians chapter 6 in the New Testament. It's before Ephesians. We'll, in a little bit here, read from verses 1 down to verse 10. But before I get there, I'd like to give you the title of my message. And it is entitled, The Law of Sowing and Reaping. I want to talk to you today about the law of sowing and reaping. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Jesus said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. Is it not? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Consider these words that I penned down earlier in my office. In a world burning, literally burning within and burning on its way to hell, with selfish pursuits and desires, the true church of Jesus Christ has the opportunity to effect our current selfish atmosphere with divinely directed and blessed selfless acts. We have such an opportunity to inspire and change the world around us by submitting to God's divinely directed acts and His directives, imparting a giving heart and attitude to this world. Consider the following quote, if you would. Listen to this. This quote really just struck me. I hope it does to you what it did to me. But it meant something. The mark of a great church is not in its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. That's true. The mark of a great church is not in its seating capacity, but it's in its sending capacity. Or may I say along the subject today, I should say, in how we sow, what we are planting in the ground. In John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus had met the woman at the well. And they had their conversation there. And she went back to report to the men of that country about Jesus. You know, she was inspired. And in the meantime, as she went away, the disciples said to Jesus, Master, eat. And Jesus went on to say, Listen, I have meat to eat that you know not of. His meat was to do the will of the Father. He was feeding on the will of the Father and was satisfied, though he ate and drank, of course. And Jesus said this statement, in John chapter 4, verse 35. He said, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, I'd like to take that verse just a minute because I enjoy to teach the Bible. Yes, I preach, but I enjoy to teach. One of the joys of my life is to explain a passage of Scripture, because if you just read over that verse quickly, you would miss a truth. Jesus says, Listen, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. How many times do we miss the harvest before us? I'm talking right before us and in our communities. Do you know why? Because our eyes are not looking up for the opportunity before us. And in other words, Jesus said, lift up your eyes. Well, let me just spiritually elaborate upon that. Oftentimes our eyes are self-focused. Our eyes are inward. Our eyes are on ourself and how I feel and what makes me happy and what gives me security and all of the selfish ambitions and desires. And when that happens, we forget to look outwardly at the very opportunities that are before us and how we can have an impact in them. And Jesus said, Listen, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they're already white into harvest. And I just want to encourage us in this sowing and reaping principle. If we're ever going to sow properly, which we're going to explain from the Bible here in a minute, to reap properly, because sowing is one thing, but reaping is another. They go hand in hand, and they're both very important. But if we're ever going to properly sow, we have to be able to see the world around us. We have to lift up our eyes off of me, myself, and I, and understand that there is a hurting world around me that needs proper sowing. It needs good seed scattered amongst it. To further understand this subject, if you would, please turn your attention to our passage here in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. I'd like to now read these verses, and then we'll start expounding upon them as we're considering this truth of proper sowing and reaping. Verse 1 of Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken, we could say succumbed to, I suppose, in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove, test his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate. That word communicate means to share, that koinonia fellowship, that partnering unto him that teacheth in all good things. Verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of or from the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not, or perhaps your translation has the words, don't lose heart. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We'll stop right there. These first 10 verses, I believe, lay a very solid foundation for our subject today on proper sowing and reaping. Here briefly, the Apostle Paul introduces to us in chapter 6 the law of sowing and reaping as regards what was on his mind at that time. He presented two things before us in regards to sowing and reaping. Number one, he brought the attention of bearing others' burdens. Verses 1 and 2, you will see that. And in verse 2, very clear, bear ye one another's burdens. You know, the Apostle Paul laid out this principle of sowing and reaping by investing in the lives of others, particularly here, those of us that are spiritually minded, which I'll talk a little bit more later, being able to help those that have been overcome by faults or trials and tribulations, sin, whatever it may be. Secondly, the Apostle Paul introduces us to this law of sowing and reaping in chapter 6 as regards sharing with the teachers of God's word. In verse 6, he says, let him that is taught in the word communicate or share unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, why the Apostle Paul exactly had these two things in his mind in this setting, I cannot tell you. But one thing that I can tell you for sure is that the Apostle Paul and Peter and the other inspired apostles of the New Testament wrote to meet and minister to the present needs at that time. You know, the Bible's not plastic. Let me explain what I mean. The Bible is not contained in a jar just to look at as though it's unreal. This Bible, not only is it very real in the inspired word of God, but it's real in this sense that it was meeting real needs of real people with real faults at a real time. And so this Bible, the Apostle Paul used these two things perhaps because the Galatians were shucking or letting off the responsibility of ministering to each other's burdens and their needs. Perhaps they were listening to false teachers at that time because, listen, I'm here to tell you, Paul the Apostle and the apostles were dealing with false prophets and teachers. And the false prophets and teachers during his time was out to fill their pockets. They were out for selfish reasons and perhaps for being dissuaded, you know, to be able to really share with those that really were teaching the word of God. But Paul laid out these two things for the reasons that he had that I cannot perfectly explain to you of sowing and reaping. I want to take a note here that I'd like to share with you that is important. Consider this. As regards the sowing or giving, if you will, the Apostle Paul mentioned, as I shared above in the 2 points he had, bearing others' burdens and sharing with the teachers of God's word, I want you to take careful notice of its eternal significance and impact. Because I'm here to tell you that that sowing and reaping was not just merely superficial, but it had eternal significance and impact. Consider what James said, as I just explained this a little bit. And to really know the Bible well, you have to study the Bible. You have to compare scripture with scripture. You have to compare chapter with chapter. You have to be able to take verses and lay them aside to get a full understanding of the Bible. Consider James, if you would, here, as James ends his book in chapter 5, verse 20. He says, or verse 19, excuse me. Brethren, if any of you do err, we could say stray, from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. There are times within the four walls of our Christian churches, and it may be even a problem today, I hope not, where somebody has succumbed to a individual sin or has been overtaken by a certain fault or some certain bad habit. Listen, we're all human. We live in a fallen world, and we face trials and temptations. But here, the Apostle Paul shares an eternal significance and impact of what can happen when we sow to the needs of others. Why? Because when we are mindful of our world around us, whether it be saved or unsaved, and invest in that person's life, we may be investing in their eternal soul being redeemed and saved as they escape sin and death and hell and find eternal life. Consider that eternal significance and impact. Consider this, if you would. And you and I ought to all be involved in this. And I said, and you heard right, you and I. Consider one thing that happens in our life. We're influenced by a lot of people, aren't we? We're living in the media day and age. Listen, I have a phone. I've had an iPhone for a long time. And I'll tell you what, I have a literal phone here that's so powerful, I can get to almost anything I want. Many of you know what I'm talking about. I watch TV on it. I watch the news on it. I get emails on it. I have text messages. I have all kinds of things at a punch of a button that can be done. We live in this media age. Now, what's my point? Consider, if you would. We have not many. We have many, many, many voices bombarding and influencing us today. Excuse me. The voice of media. The voice of propaganda. The voice of so-called biblical teachers and preachers and on and on and on that are bombarding us with their influence. Well, listen, all of that is not good, but I'm here to tell you what. When we are being influenced by godly teachers and godly preachers, when we are being changed by the administration of the word, consider the eternal impact that you and I can koinonia with, partner with in the saving of souls and strengthening of the church of God. When I recognize myself that, wow, that person's influenced me, how can I help them? And I minister to that need to cause them to have the ability to continue to further preach the word of God. Do you consider the internal significance and impact that we can have? I'm here to tell you this, and this is so important, and I got some of this capitalized in my writing here. Our sowing needs to be eternally focused. When we are eternally focused with our sowing, we're going to reap eternal results. But when our sowing becomes selfish, we're going to reap what I'm going to talk about in a little bit, and that is corruption, decay, and the such like. At this time, I'd like to look at four things differently, but I'd like to take four things and consider them, and that is the ground, the seed, the produce of the seed, and I'd like to give a final word, all from these 10 verses. Again, we're going to look at the ground. I'll explain that. The seed itself, the produce of the seed, and I'd like to give a final word from our passage of Scripture here. Let us briefly consider, if you would please, with me this morning, the ground. Now, the ground where the seed is sown is extremely important. As in all good or bad things, there is a cause or there is a foundation to that very thing. You know, we see things that happen in life and we hear things, but you know, the things that we see, oftentimes there's a hidden person or device behind that message and that action. And I want us to know that as in all good and bad things, there is a cause or a very foundation to it. I'm here to say that the proper ground for giving, for sowing, is found in verse 1. Let me reread. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, in other words, let's make it real applicable. Somebody within this church that's a professing Christian, they've been overtaken in a fault. They've succumbed to sin. They got some vice or bad habit and they need help. Those of us that are spiritual need to come alongside and help them. Remember eternal significance and eternal impact that we can have in helping another overcome whatever it may be. He goes on to say, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. I want you to notice the word spiritual. He says, you which are spiritual, restore. We could say renew, revive. Such an one in the spirit of meekness. Listen, as we consider this principle of sowing and reaping, we must consider the ground that we are sowing from. I want us to understand that at any time we are going to be sowing with an eternal significance and impact, it's going to depend on the ground we're sowing from. Consider, if you would, John chapter 12, verse 24. Jesus said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now back to that word, ye which are spiritual. This word spiritual, we could say this, it means to be regenerated. It needs to literally be personally restored. Here you go. It means to be born again of the Holy Spirit. Here we go. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new what? Creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I have been made a spiritual man or woman because I've come to the place of repentance towards God, have received Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and the Lord, through his personal visitation in my heart, has created a spiritual ground within, in my heart, the very ground of my life. My heart has been made new, has been made spiritual. The Holy Spirit has come to koinonia, partner with my spirit, if you will, breathe life into it, and now I have a new and proper spiritual ground to sow from. And you know, if we're ever going to sow properly, we must have a proper ground. Many of you have gardens or have had in the past. Try to go out there and not till the ground. And just throw seed on the ground and expect potatoes and beans and all of that. How well will it do? No. You need to cultivate. You need to till up the ground. You need to take time to get boulders and heavy rocks out of there if they're there. You need to get the thorns out of the way. You need to make sure that ground is really prepared so when you put that seed in, it has a good chance. Well, listen, if we're going to have eternal eyes and if we're going to sow with eternal significance, and have real impact in society around us for eternal purposes, we must have a spiritual ground, and that is the ground of our heart. Jesus said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it remains alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I'm going to summarize this by saying this. Remember what goes back to the song? I said some of the greatest lies are in church. Sometimes we say some of the greatest lies when we sing the songs and don't realize it. Such as, I've surrendered all. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Listen, today, if our ground is going to be pure and usable, and I'm sharing this in a positive way, we need to say, Lord, here's my heart. Here's my life. Take my life and let it be, God, consecrated, Lord, to thee. It's no more about me, God. Take my heart. Just use it. I give it all to you. I surrender that hidden sin. I surrender that bad habit. I surrender that lying tongue. I surrender whatever's there, God, and I give it all to you, God. Just make my heart new. And then God allows our heart to be spiritual because it's connected to God. And therein I have a proper ground to sow from. Okay, let's move on if we would, please. I'd like to now look at the seed. We've considered the ground, which is extremely important because without a proper ground, you can have the best seed in the world. It's kind of like this. I tell people, you know, I still paint. I've been painting a long time, believe it or not, almost a quarter of a century. And I tell people this, that your best prepared, your best paint job is the best prepared surface. It's true. You can go out on a, you can take $150 a gallon paint and put it on an unprepared surface and it may peel off in 2 weeks. But I'm here to tell you, if you take that surface and prepare it very, very, very well, you may be different from me and not use as expensive as paint. But if it's a decent paint, it's going to last. Why? You prepared the surface. The ground is important. Now for the seed. I want you to notice something about the seed. This is important. Consider if you would. It is not a question, and it's not. It is not a question as to whether or not you or I will sow and reap. That's not the question. Here's the question. It is a matter of what we will sow and reap. It's not a question at all if you will sow and reap in life. The question is the matter of what will you sow and what will you reap. Consider verse 7, if you would. The Bible says, be not deceived. Be not deceived means don't be led astray. Don't be deceived. Don't be led astray by this voice, by that. You know, and by the way, the best way to not be deceived is by being a student of the Bible. You know, I'm not a very smart man. I truly am not. The things that I learn, it takes effort. I have to put effort in to really learn things. But I'm here to tell you the safest way from deception is to be a student of the Bible. Can I repeat that? The safest way to avoid deception is to be a, not just a student, a in-classroom, in-your-seat student of the Bible. Perhaps the greatest way to avoid being led astray by the many voices, and I'm here to tell you, you'll leave here today and maybe one of those voices are going to come at you today. You may flip on the radio. You may do this or that. Just remember this message. Many voices try to bring different influence. Avoid deception through being a true, vibrant student of the Bible. So verse 7, be not deceived. Don't be led astray. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, there's many teachers and preachers out there that'll tell us, you don't have to do this. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to give. You don't have to minister. You don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. And what they do is they lead us astray into a life of selfishness. And really, they use it under the name of Jesus Christ and they quote Bible verses, but all it's done is it led me to an end of selfishness. Whereas the Bible has an end in mind when it teaches and preaches the word, and that is that you and I would sow with eternal eyes to have real eternal impact with the people around us. And the Bible's saying, don't be deceived, don't be led astray. God is not mocked. That word mocked literally means, do you want to know what it literally means? It means to lift your nose up at. You study that word. That's literally what it means, to lift your nose up at. Kind of like a pig. We used to have pigs out at the farm. And I mean, seriously, this may sound strange, but I think the pig would just, you know, and just kind of, it's almost like just snarled. I don't know what it was thinking, but just kind of lift its nose up to you like, and that's what it means. It means to lift your nose up, but it means to deride, mock, sneer at, like, kind of like this. Ha, 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 yeah, God, I hear you say it, but you're not going to do anything about it. Listen, God's not mocked. He knows what we're sowing, when we're sowing, where we're sowing, and how we're sowing. He's not going to be mocked. You know, God sees it all and knows it all and understands it all. Because the Bible says, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, you sow corn, you get corn. You sow beans, you get beans. You sow anger, oftentimes you have anger come back your way. You sow bitterness, you reap bitterness. You sow joy, you reap joy. You sow peace, you reap peace. And on and on and on, you get the idea. God gives directives for sowing and will not be mocked about it. He will not be mocked about it. I'd like us to briefly look at three types of seed to be sown. I'm going to look now as we continue on this subject of seed. And I'm going to look at three types of seed that you actually have the possibility today and tomorrow and the next day, if God so allows us to live, to sow. Number one, no seed. We have one class of seed that you and I have the opportunity to sow, and that's literally no seed at all. How do I know? Again, as you've heard me teach you in the past, I try to back up and prove what I share from the Bible, because the Bible is our answer. Well, in Matthew 25, verses 24 and 25. I'm not going to take time, you know, for our time, but you'll read there about the parable of the talents. Do you remember the one was given five talents, the one two, and another one? Well, the one that had five and two, they went out and made another five talents, and the one went out and made another two. Why? They were sowing. They were being active. I think we could say from that parable, as a true Christian, they had eternal eyes, and they were busy about the Lord's work. But you know, the one that had one, and by the way, that one talent he had was a lot of money. I think my Bible told me it was like $384,000 in some money. So it wasn't just like a couple dollars. The man that had a talent had a lot of money and a lot of ability, but the Bible goes on to say he was afraid, and he said to the Lord, you know, I know, Lord, you reap where you haven't scattered, and you know, and like that. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Well, I'm here to say, as Christians, that some of us are not busy sowing any good seed. We're not going around sowing peace. We're not sowing joy. We're not sowing the will of God because either I'm fearful. You know, I have this spirit of fear about me. Perhaps I'm lazy. You know, because if you study the Synoptic Gospels and put the parable of the talents together, you'll see in another place where he says, and it may have been in Matthew, but it may be in Mark or Luke, you know, thou wicked and slothful servant. He goes on to call it, not only does the man say himself he was afraid, but it's stated that he was a wicked and slothful servant. And sometimes we sow no seed because, well, quite frankly, we're lazy. Or quite frankly, our heart, the ground of my heart is not spiritual, it's carnal. I've lost eternal vision, you know, and the such like. Secondly, there's another type of seed that you and I have the opportunity to sow, and it's called bad seed. Not only is there that opportunity to sow no seed at all, but there's the opportunity to actually sow bad seed. Well, how do we know? In Matthew chapter 13, there's a parable that Jesus uses when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And I will read just a few of these words that he says there. He says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So the Lord goes on to explain this parable about how he, you know, the Son of Man, sows the good seed, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom of heaven, and the one that sowed the bad seed is the devil. Well, I'm here to say that if our focus is not on the Lord, if we are not abiding in Christ, remaining close to him, being in the Word, being in prayer, being in proper fellowship, do you know what we open the ground up to of my heart? I open the ground of my heart open to scattering bad seed. Galatians 6:8 makes that clear. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Corruption is decay. Anything that corrupts decays. I want you to understand what Paul said about supposed religious leaders back in his day and age. He said in verse 18 of Philippians 3, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You know, back in Paul's day, there was the religious teachers, the preachers, perhaps the Pharisees, the scribes, for selfish motives, preaching and teaching the word of God. And they were not sowing good seed, they were sowing bad seed, they were sowing deceptive seed. And I want us to know and understand that you and I do have the opportunity to sow bad seed. And bad seed is a result of sowing to the flesh, sowing to my desires, what I want, my will, rather than the will of the Holy Spirit. Lastly, you and I have the opportunity, and this is what we should put our soul focus on, and that is sowing good seed. Consider the Apostle Paul's statement in the latter half of verse 8, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of or from the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now consider this. This is what I love about taking a passage of the scripture and studying it. Because now the Apostle Paul says, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 8. Well, our text previously, as I already alluded to, brought out to us previously two examples of good seed that we can sow that has eternal significance and impact. And that is number one, bearing one another's burdens. when I see a brother or sister overtaken in a fault, when I see them sorrowful, when I see them hurting, that I take the time to call, that I take the time to visit, that I take the time to acknowledge them, that I take the time to be able to allow the Lord to use me to deliver them from any sin, fault, through prayer, through the Word of God, through the ways God gives me the individual talent to do. And he also gives us that example of sowing good seed from our very text by being mindful of the true teachers and preachers of the Word of God and be able to koinonia or partner with them and assist them in being able to spread the good seed of the gospel. Consider what Paul said to the Philippian church about this. This verses I'm going to read go along exactly what I just said. Paul said, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated, which means shared with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift." Here we go. "But I desire fruit that may abound to your account." In other words, as you koinonia or partner with me, you're going to have eternal results from it. I'm not desiring that gift for me, but I'm desiring it that fruit may abound to your account. And see, when you and I are willing to partner in the directives that God gives us of sowing, it goes way beyond us. It goes all into eternity when we do it with a pure heart, and you and I are able to experience eternal results. As we are going to conclude this message here shortly, I'd like to look at two final things, and that is, next to last, the produce of the seed, the production of the seed. There are two types of produce that will come from our seed, as verse 8 clearly lays out. The one that sows to the flesh reaps corruption to decay. The one that sows to the Spirit reaps life everlasting, or everlasting life. The production or produce of the seed is listed in two categories. That is in corruption or decay, and that is in life everlasting. Consider John chapter 15, the first 8 verses there, if you would. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." He's the vine dresser. He's the farmer. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it," or prunes it, "that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein, by this, I believe we could say, is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." The Lord intends for us to be his disciples that bear much fruit. But listen, we'll only bear much fruit that is eternally blessed when our ground has been made anew, the ground of our heart is spiritual, when we're sowing the proper seed, not the no seed or bad seed, but the good seed. And when these two things are in place, and as we remain and abide in Christ and look to him, which is going to be the key to us maintaining that good ground, to good sowing, to a good harvest. Thirty, sixty, and ninetyfold, or a hundredfold. I want to encourage each of us this morning to pursue that hundredfold fruit bearing. Let me give you a final word here in verses 9 and 10. Paul says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not," or don't lose heart. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Remember, as we have therefore opportunity. How do you know if you have opportunity? How can one know if they even have the opportunity to do good unto all if our eyes are on ourselves? If our eyes are unaware of our surroundings. Remember Jesus said way back at the beginning of the message, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. One of the key components to bearing eternal fruit today is getting our eyes up and off of me, myself, and I, and looking on the fields of harvest and opportunities that are before us. I don't know how many opportunities you and I have missed daily because we were consumed with myself. Have you ever experienced that? Consumption with oneself or my responsibilities, and the opportunities just flowed right on by. You know, we've talked about the principle or the law or the ground, we could say, of sowing and reaping. It's a principle that's happening probably every day of our life. And I would say something that happens every day of our life is pretty important. So I want to encourage us this morning as we go about sowing and reaping to make sure that we are following the instructions of God, that we may bear forth mighty fruit. Let us have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for, Lord, the opportunity to gather together and just hear the scriptures this morning. Lord, I pray that you would take, Lord, these few words, Lord, and I pray that you would sow them in our hearts. I do ask that you would sow them in our hearts, and I just ask that you would let not the enemy of in any way snatch them from us. Sow them, plant them, and bring forth a bountiful harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I want to tell you something here this morning. I know it's true. The enemy will come and try to snatch this word from your heart. The enemy will try to snatch the word of God from our heart. May we be watchful that that does not happen. If you would, please, I'd like you to turn to number 313 in your songbook. Number 313, Blessed Quietness. And this song here actually talks about some fruit bearing. So let's sing 313, Blessed Quietness. Joys are flowing like